Mr. Pullen, reel 12.
You said there was an awful lot of this polishing, but now you've just told me you'd polish for an hour up until 8 o'clock. Well, an hour a day doesn't sound very much to me.
Well, no, but then if you was doing punishment, that was another case where they start repolishing again, see. But it's surprising, you know, an hour, what a crowd of men can do. You take a few hundred men doing a job like that, don't take long to polish a bit of. Because they always got their gear ready for it, right?
Yes. So every day there'd be about an hour on brassworks, would
that's
there?
Right, yes, that's what it would be.
And every day there'd be deck scrubbing?
Yes, oh yes.
Yeah. How long would that take?
In the mornings, we should start about, say, 6 o'clock. Go on to about 7, about an hour, look, see? Scrubbing decks. And even during the day, if it'd been raining, and the rain went off, they'd pipe hands dry up, squeegees down and dry up the upper deck. So we'd have to get our squeegees and squeegee all the water down again. It was a case of, I think it was more polishing than discipline in the Navy, really.
So there's an hour of deck scrubbing, an hour on brassworks, and there were other kinds of things, like looking after your ropes. Did that take up much time?
Oh, no, that didn't take up much time. Because on board there wasn't so many ropes as all that. Only the boats, you know, for oysting boats and stuff like that, see. Our ropes was always nicely coiled down, you know. We used to put them down in a nice shape, you know, on board, see. You go along the upper deck and see them all nicely laid up.
But then there'd be paint ship as well. How often would you do that?
What?
Paint ship.
Oh, we used to paint ship about, I don't know, any time. I think according to how they had the paint to manage. You know, the canteen used to have to, them canteens we had, they had to supply the officers with so much paint and that, see? And, you know, they were like always wanted their ship to look better than the next one. So, you see, we used to paint ship pretty often.
How often is pretty often?
I should think at least every 3 months.
Yeah. And how long would it take once you
did it? Once we started, we say it would take 2 days for the ship side. Then, of course, up aloft, it would take another 2 days, perhaps. And then, apart from all that, on the mess deck, there was men all the day pottering about there, you know, shifting stuff and painting and going along a bit farther, chipping this and chipping that, coming back next day and painting, see. So you see, there was monotonous sort of a job in a way.
So it'd be best part of a week's work.
It was, yes, you know.
Yeah. Any other kinds of jobs you had to do connected with keeping the ship clean? Now you mentioned brassworks, deck scrubbing, rope work, paint work. Any other clearing ship jobs?
I think that filled all the old issue, you know, what was wanted, see. I don't think it was anything else, no.
Now when the war broke out in 1914, during the wartime period, did the time spent on spit and polish change?
Oh, no. They done away with it. And we had to chip our turrets, chip off as much paint as we could, so that it wouldn't catch fire, you know, with a projectile in it. You'd be surprised that if a projectile has come in, it's come in the captain's cabin, it's caught the cabin on fire, shot brown, smashed up all his galley stuff, and we lost the cook as well. Captain's cook, we never found him in the battle. So you see, a projectile hitting the steelwork would cause a fire on board. So we had to chip everywhere we could. If you saw a ship, you'd think that she'd been laid up for months. That's how it was during the war. Whether they done it in the Grand Fleet, I don't know, but I suppose they did everywhere, you know.
What other things changed, apart from chipping the paint off the gun turrets?
All woodwork had to be done away with on board. All our...
What do you mean, done away with?
Wooden ladders or the piano, everything, all flung overboard. And we got rid of nearly all our boats. Just kept a couple of boats, that was all. In fact, in the papers in Rio de Janeiro, it said they thought the Glasgow had sunk because they found some of the stuff floating in the harbour, you know, see?
What about scrubbing deck and paintwork during the war? Was that carried on?
Oh, after the war?
No, during the war.
Paintwork?
Paintwork and brassworks.
Oh, no, they didn't do nothing like that. All that they was on for now is to beat the Germans. And everything was being done to, you know, they were doing loading machine, working out the loading machine. And when I was in a destroyer, I used to have to go aboard perhaps Beatty's ship, get hold of a telescope, and name the German ships coming up. They had models of the German ships, like the Baden class or Heligoland class. You had to tell that, see, because in action, sometimes you're firing on your own ship, because you wouldn't know, see, especially night times. That's how you had to recognize your enemy.
Mm. Well, during the war, what happened as regards deck scrubbing and brassworks?
Oh, most of that was done away with. They didn't bother.
They just let them go?
Just let it go, you know, see. What they were doing now was preparing for action any time, see.
When the war was over, did all the spit and polish come back in again?
Yes, came back again. That's what I say. I said to an officer, fancy bringing all this back. And he said that caused men to concentrate.
What did the men think of all this spit and polish?
Oh, they didn't go much on it, really, but they had to stick it. And, of course, you couldn't get much information from them about it, because it was a come-day-go-day job, look, see? Used to be, and so it's going to be. Oh, life on the mess deck was pretty nice, really. You had lots of room, you know. Although you were close to each other, you had plenty of room in a way. Then, of course, after you had your meals and that, you never stopped on that mess deck. Usually go on the upper deck. Men would go up there in groups smoking and sometimes sat in groups playing a banjo or doing some one thing or another, look, see. Yeah.
Let's talk about the Caesar. On the Caesar, where was your mess and how many men were in it?
Well, in the Caesar, I was a boy in the first going off there, see? And in that mess there, I was in a forecastle mess. And I should think the mess held about 18 men. And we used to have to, as boys, wash their basins and plates when they finished their meals.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was actually in the mess, in the way of furniture and equipment and fittings?
Well, we had a table you stand up on you should lower that down on. We had a bread barge in there.
Sorry, tell me about the table.
The table had a hook on it. You could unhook it and lower it down on the bread barge. We kept that bread barge at the end of the there, see? And what else that was there? We had tin gear, you know. We had a couple of big tin dishes, what we used to make our meals in, you know. And this is before the new catering business come in the Navy, see. And when the new catering came in, we still had those utensils. We had what they call a hook pot.
A what?
A hook pot. That was a pot with a handle to it. And sometimes they could measure the rum in that, see?
Hope pot.
Hook pot, they call it hook pot. H-W-K, hook pot, see? And they had something, they would measure the rum, see? Put the rum in and put it halfway between, you know. That was the total rum in the basins. Then all the basins was put out, you know, all the tots of rum was put out. Every man had his proper tot of rum, you know, see? They seen to that. And then, what else did we have? Well, what we call a fanny. That's what they used to go up and fetch the rum in, you know, see? That was like a tin bucket, you know, an handle to it, see?
I thought you said they fetched the rum in the hook pot.
No, they'd serve it out in the hook pot. This, see, to measure the tot of rum, look, see. Of course, if there's only 1 gill of rum and 3 gills of water. Well, to measure that, they used to put it in this hook pot, see, tilt it across so as it lay across diagonally, right? Put that in the basin, see. And each man had his basin of rum. Mm. There was never no fiddling about that.
Yes. Before the war, tell me how the rum was, what time of the day did you have the rum, and what was the procedure, what was the drill?
10 o'clock we used to pipe, you know, up rum, look, see? So now we used to get 2 Marines with the barrel, small barrel, you know, see? And the petty officer of the day would open the spirit room. You go and get the keys from the quarterdeck, see? Open the spirit room, and the chief steward and the fellow used to make the barrels, the cooper, used to assist the chief steward. And they go down, in my case, in the Thunderer, I've gone down there, unlocked the places and gone down, see? And Jimmy Bums, that was the cooper, you know, see? Now, to do a bit of twisting, that the copper jugs, you know, was stout at the bottom and narrow at the neck. And before the chief steward started pumping the rum in there, so much rum for the day, you see, I said to Jimmy, give me that jug. Yeah, that half full of water, you know. And if that chief steward put that amount of rum in there, see, that was diluted right away, see. That had to go in that barrel. But it happens to be that that master at arms that time, as I said, he was a boy with me at one time, and he said to me, Ted, it's your day on the rum. He said, be careful, he said, there's been a bit of trouble about the rum, see. So I had to be very careful about it.
What sort of trouble had there been?
Well, they'd been finding out there was too much water being put in the rum, see. And then we'd have what they call it, supers. In this case, the neat rum was put in this barrel, and these 2 Marines would now take it up on the aft deck and remain with it now till 12 o'clock. Now then, the police wasn't allowed rum, but petty officers could send their messmen down with a bottle and have their tot of rum put neaters in there, see? Each petty officer had his tot of rum neat. Consequently, the next thing was, now, 12 o'clock, there's the pipe, the rum, you know, see? Muster for your rum. All the messes would run along with their fanny, but I told you, you know, that like a buck with an animal. And the chief steward would be there. Sergeant of Marines used to mix the water with the rum, see? Such as there had to go 9 gallons of water in that day. And I come down on the deck, and the Sergeant of Marines said, I put the water in, Ted. I said, how many? He said, 10 gallons. Take 1 gallon out. He said, what about the pressures? See what I mean? There would be so much left over, wouldn't there, in the barrel? By having that extra gallon of water, the rum itself wouldn't be so strong as 3 water, would it? By having that extra one. And that gave the petty officers and the Sergeant of Marines and the Marines, Sergeant of Marines, extra rum, sit down and drink. It was more diluted, but it was extra drink rum. Mm. That's what I mean. And